the tree. Has anything changed now? Sweet liberty.
Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Oops. Okay, I'm sorry about that delay. I put my tape in on the wrong side, had to turn it over. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Tuesday. It is the 11th of January in the year 2005. And as I promised you last night, Alan Watt is on with us, folks. What we're going to do tonight, because we usually when Alan is on with us, we at least do a couple days in a row because our conversations seem to leave questions that need to be addressed and not wait for weeks. Tomorrow night we're bringing a victim of a persecution, a whistleblower, on. And it really kind of falls in line with what we were talking about. It's in the same church. It might be in another pew. But the victims of stalking. And we're going to do that tomorrow night. So tonight what we're going to do with Alan, we have promised you a long time ago. I'm having trouble with this mic again. We promised you a long time ago that we were going to have a question and answer night. And that's what we're going to do tonight, folks. Alan?
Yes?
Is my voice sounding fuzzy to you?
No.
Okay. It's in my headset, then. I'm sorry. All right, folks. Let me begin here with our spiritual message. This is from Luke 17. And we'll start with verse 20 here. When Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, listen, folks, said the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo there, or lo here. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It will not come with observation. And you can't say there it is or here it is, because it is. It is here now, folks, and the kingdom of God is within us. And Alan Watt, thank you for joining us tonight. You're telling me that my voice doesn't sound fuzzy to you?
No.
Okay, that's great. It's fuzzy in my headset.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, get your pen. I'll give you the call-in number. And I know that there are a couple of you because I talked to Janet yesterday and I talked to Tim today. And both of you wondered if we were going to have a call-in. And so tonight is it. The call-in number is 570-537-3025. 570-537-3025. And until somebody does call. And folks, if you are, let me explain to you how we're situated here. When you call in, this is a Rube Goldberg I have going here, home radio. And when you call in, actually you're talking on a speakerphone that is picked up by the mic, which the speakerphone is sitting right under it. Alan can hear your questions, but you are not going to be able to hear his answers. So what you want to do is write your question down, call up, And if it's a one or two part question, ask it and then hang up so that you can hear Alan's answer. And so if you'd like to call in, the line is open, 570-537-3025. Alan?
Yeah.
Okay. We won't wait for the phone to ring.
Yeah, I'll come.
Yeah, right. Actually, we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about tonight because we decided we'd have a call-in.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Darren Weeks was on with us.
Yeah.
And we talked about the tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I had talked about it, and you're pretty convinced that this tsunami was not a natural occurrence.
Yeah, and as I say, when you just study over your lifetime, the amount of apparent coincidences that just fall into line with a written agenda, which you can read from different authors who were involved in it, how come the catastrophes and so on happen to fall in line with what they need to happen at just the right time?
Like what?
Well, they wanted, Indonesia, for instance, was one of the countries on the hit list for the new American century. And every country mentioned there was an enemy of the U.S. and had to be taken out or taken over. And I wondered, how were they going to get into that part of the world?
Oh, my, yeah.
And well, they've got in, you know.
When you say it was on the hit list,
yeah,
of the new American century, you know, we have that on our website,
mm-hmm,
in the Homeland, I think it's in the Homeland Security section.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, how did it refer or infer that, or did they come right out? What did they say about Indonesia?
It said that these are the countries which are antagonistic to the U.S. and that they harbored, they had laws to harbor terrorists, Muslim terrorists. In Indonesia, for instance, I think it's 85% Muslim in that country. And so they've got in. They have got in under the guise of a disaster. You know, the sun,
wow,
the sun of eyes, tsunami.
Uh-huh. You know, I've read the emails about it. I don't watch the news.
Uh-huh.
But where exactly all places? Weren't there six countries involved?
Yeah, they had Syria down there too.
Syria,
and
okay.
Because this is the final war between Zion,
yeah,
and Islam.
Syria is part of their greater Israel plans, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
And
Syria?
Albert Pike talks about it, that the final war would be between Zionism and Islam. Christianity, even in his day, was already basically conquered and taken over, you know.
Well, so, because you have the Christian Zionists now.
Yeah.
And I think they far outnumber the other classes that call themselves Christian.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
According to that BBC broadcast, they said there were 40 million Christian Zionists in the United States.
They all follow their leaders, and they are the sheep, and, mm-hmm, and the shepherds are supplied.
The lost sheep of Israel.
And so the shepherd tells the sheep where to go, and they go. So
yeah,
they're just an unthinking mass, really, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they have no idea what Zionism ultimately means. And it's not just a home for people in Israel. It's a worldwide system. That's what. There's always two meanings, the three meanings, really, for every key word they use. And
Three meanings?
Generally, it's a trinity, yeah.
Oh, a trinity.
Everything ends up always being a trinity.
Uh-huh.
And so Lower Masons, for instance, are taught that Zion is a place for Jews to live.
Okay.
And of course the Zionists themselves, who are into every part of revolution, which is a play on revelation, just change a couple of vowels. That's why revelation is in there.
And that's why everything is coming to pass, Alan.
That's right.
Because they wrote it.
Yes, a long time ago.
Yep. Uh huh.
And so you know now you have your wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places, and we'll still see the famines, which can be done very easily now, because the Monsanto and Cargo and so on, a couple of them, they own most of the seed of the world,
yeah,
and they also own the weather. You know, the 4 years ago, the U.S. Air Force said it would shortly own the weather. And, well, it does. So
the U.S. Air Force said that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And this one report that I was reading from last night
mm-hmm.
is from the Australian Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
AU, I think.
Yeah.
Is AU Australia?
Yeah, it will be.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right, you said it was a trinity, and there are three explanations. And you said one of them, okay, would be, okay, the explanation for Zionism. Number one, it's a place for Jews. What's the other two?
The second one is a world run under strict Talmudic law.
Oh, yeah, which we are today.
And the third one ultimately...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alan, just finish.
Yeah, and the third one is the extermination
Hello?
Of all of the people who've helped to bring it about, because they're no longer useful.
Uh-huh. I lost our caller.
Oh, okay.
So world dominion under Talmudism. And
Talmudism is not Jewish, it's pre-Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And it came out of the Middle East under different guises and hiding behind different peoples. But in the higher Masonic books, they admit that themselves. There's only ever been one priesthood that's run the world for many, many, many thousands of years.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they always own the commerce of the world, the trading of the world.
Oh yes.
They introduce money. They own the money systems of the world. They own the pharmacological systems of the world. They own the legal system. In other words, it's an entire system which they always bring with them. And this system is against nature because everything it gives you is unnatural.
Unnatural.
And because it's unnatural, they can twist it into any which way they wish
mm-hmm.
to.
I would like to invite our caller to please call back. And folks, if you call in when Alan is just in the middle of a sentence, I won't interrupt. But so please, when I answer, I won't say anything, but just be patient for just a few seconds. Whoever called in, I think they didn't think that they got through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm inviting you to call again. Caller, please. So the first was a place for the Jews.
Yeah, that's
the second is world dominion. What is the third?
The third is where they get rid of all of those who help bring it all about. Because their function is no longer required.
Yeah, but that wouldn't... Oh, you mean that's actually part of what Zionism is?
Uh-huh. It's a completion. Everyone is used in turn until the function has been achieved. And then you dispose of those whom you've used.
Would that even be presidents and...
Yes, there's no
prime ministers? Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, you might say the script writers because they write everything for them anyway. They're more in touch with what's going on. But the front men you don't need anymore.
Well, I got it. You remember today when we were talking earlier, and I got a call from Fritz. He had just heard it that, what did I say that the guy's name is? It's going to be the head of the Homeland Security.
Oh, yes.
It's a Russian name.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't what I thought he said, but the guy is a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And Haas is, I guess, the new head of the CIA.
Yeah.
He's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in all the high places today.
Yeah, and these particular Jews belong to one of the highest secret societies that there is. You know.
Which is?
Zionism.
Okay. It's Zionism is a secret society.
It's because, you know, if you look at all religions, every religion has an extremist cell contained within it.
Uh-huh.
And everyone looks at the Muslims because they have some... sects there who would be classified as extreme. Listen to your Christian fundamentalists, and you'll find quite a few ones in there.
Yes.
And, of course, no one thinks to look that it could be one within Judaism itself. And, of course, there is one within Judaism. And all of the Masonic rituals of all the branches, doesn't matter what they join, if they're Masonic, are based on the Old Testament.
And then there's... a class of Jews, the leaders, of course, rabbis,
mm-hmm.
who claim that they are against Zionism
mm-hmm.
because this isn't the true homeland.
Yeah.
And I heard one of them from I forget what his name was. It, there's a website, Nutra-something, Carta, I believe.
Yeah.
And I heard him some time ago on John Statmiller's broadcast. It was several years ago. And he was saying that we are commanded.
Mm-hmm.
He says they're not Talmudists. Well, he said what they do is they follow the Torah.
Yeah.
And they are commanded by their God to be good neighbors wherever they go.
Mm-hmm.
And so these, this sect is fooling a lot of people, because when they're following the Torah, the Torah being the basis of the Talmud, it's all laid out in the Torah, this whole plan. Yes, Alan? The first
well,
five
Isaiah,
books?
In Isaiah, in the last three chapters, it tells you that Israel will rule the world, and that's what its function is, and the Gentile nations would serve them. That's
yes.
The last three chapters of Isaiah.
Yes.
And they wouldn't have to work. They would lord over, I think it says the Jews will lord over the Gentiles, and the Gentiles will plow the lands and
yes.
feed them the milk and honey.
And kings will bow to their feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And don't forget, though, I mean, everything within Judaism and the Old Testament was borrowed from the even older religions, because the same priests ran the older religions, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, where they call them Phoenicians, as the Greeks did, the Romans, actually, and the Greeks called the whole area of the Holy Land Idumea on their maps.
Yeah.
And they called the people who lived there not just Edomians, but Phoenicians. And they ran the world trade, and they ran the banking system of the day.
Well, then, are you saying the Phoenicians were the priestly class?
They were the priestly class, absolutely. And if you look at what the Phoenicians did, and there's good descriptions of the sacrifices of their own firstborn, which the Phoenicians did, and they've uncovered many, many urns in the Middle East containing the remains of babies, basically. But they also had to sacrifice their firstborn if they were losing a battle. So if the son had grown up, he still had to be sacrificed to, you know, the god to try and save the day. And you find, I think there's a couple of references even in the Old Testament, where I think Uzziah was one, or Uzziah, where he, in the middle of a battle, losing, kills his son and throws him over the battlements.
Wow. Okay, we do have a caller here. Hi, you're on the air.
Good evening, Jackie. Sorry to interrupt. Just a quick note. I heard the two interviews you were referring to regarding Yitzhak Weiss and Nutricardi.
Yeah.
Yeah. During the first interview, he made clear that he and the rest of his organization did indeed read the Talmud and value it very much.
Okay, thank you.
During the second interview, he made clear that he absolutely loved and adored Shimon ben Yohai. Ben Yohai is the one who said, kill even the best of the Gentiles, kill them all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you. So that Nutricarte
mm-hmm.
is just another... Would you call it controlled opposition?
Well, I would say that it's not NutraSweet.
Not, well, maybe it is, because NutraSweet is deadly.
Well, that's true.
Alan, so maybe it would be compared to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks.
You know, the Babylonian Talmud is what this Rabbi Hillel supposedly brought out within the first century A.D., but there's no doubt it was on the go in that area long before then. And then when supposedly the rabbis took it over, in fact, they brought it from Babylon.
Wasn't it? Yeah, wasn't it 500 B.C. when they, was it that when they came out of Babylon?
No.
Okay, when was it?
Well, they claim themselves it was in the first century A.D.
Oh, okay.
But there's no doubt that the rabbis who came out of Babylon supposedly from the captivity brought it out with them, because, I mean,
right.
supposedly they'd gone into Babylon with Levites, the priestly class, and they came out with this new bunch called rabbis, which were completely different.
You mean they were never called rabbis before then?
No.
Okay.
And when you say rabbi, technically in Hebrew, you're saying my master.
My master?
So you should never address a rabbi unless you know what you're saying. And so the I in the end means my master. So it's a bit of an in-joke, I think, when they have people calling them rabbi.
Wow.
And Rabboni means my lord and master.
Do they call them that sometimes?
Yeah. But no, this all came from Babylon. It's the old mystery religion that pre-existed all religions. It all came from them.
You know, we talked about that one time, a long time ago, in Doug Reed's book. He explained that while they were there, and I think you were talking about this, they were set apart. They were allowed in Babylon to set apart. They had their own laws and the religion evidently being created. And at that time, we were just learning about the priesthood behind the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wonder, and you confirmed it, that it wasn't whoever was king of Babylon at that time. It would have been the priesthood
mm-hmm.
that set that all up.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally, as I say, pre-Babylon or the captivity, there's no record of any peoples in the area of a people called Israel. Jews appear, but they weren't even called Jews at that time, but they appear around 500 BC coming out of Babylon, setting up in Jerusalem with these people called rabbis at the head.
Okay, 500 BC.
Well, that's what they claim. I think it was a bit later.
Oh, I see.
Because they didn't have their first Old Testament written until, and even then it's contradictory.
I think they read it to the people, didn't they?
But they didn't have it written, you see, until about, they say 300 B.C., but generally it's taken as 200 B.C., when 72, it's always 72, you know, who make up a new religion. And priests who lived in Egypt wrote it, and they wrote it in Greek for a people who spoke Aramaic, which is absolute nonsense, obviously.
Yeah.
So they gave them, their religion was created for them, and all it was an updated version of the old mystery religion. And then, of course, if you bring a bunch of slaves out of Babylon, after one or two generations of indoctrination by the rabbis, they'd believe anything they were told. You know, here's your history, and here's who you really are, you know. And it doesn't take long to indoctrinate a people who can't read or write. And of course the rabbis were known to be a sect apart from Jews. They had their own inner religion.
So it is true, Jewish persecution is a tool of the international Zionist plan for world dominion.
I'd say that
the persecution mm-hmm. to cause so many people to cry for those poor persecuted Jews.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they'll sacrifice as many as they need.
They say that.
To gain sympathy, yeah.
You know what I just
found? In fact, in the Talmud it says the few must perish for the sake of the many.
Yes, and that's the same thing in communism, isn't it?
Yeah, and Mr. Spock said it too in Star Trek.
one of my heroes.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking for this thing in Jeremiah where it literally said when they came out, and they read to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, as I was looking, I found the quote. I had this highlighted and outlined in Isaiah that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And this is in Isaiah 60 at verse 10. It says, at 9, the isles shall wait for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, their kings shall minister unto you, for in my wrath I smote you, but in my favor have I had mercy. Therefore your gates shall be open continuously, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto you the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's an ancient, as I say, priesthood hiding behind
all
of
this. And it says, Alan, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve you will perish.
Yeah.
Those nations shall be utterly wasted. Mm-hmm. What's happening today?
Well, everybody gets used, and then they give you the boot, you know.
Yeah.
And once the U.S. completes its mission, it's so easy now to give them the boot because all your industry's been given to China.
Your industry, too.
Oh, yeah, well, it was never mine. See, at least I know that it was never mine.
Yeah, well, it was never mine either.
Yeah.
Folks, we've got about 35 minutes left, and we don't do this often. In fact, it's the first time we've done it since Alan has been back with us in August last year. If you have a question that you would like to ask, this would be the time to do it. And the call-in number, if you would like to call in, is 570-537-3025. Okay, you started to name the countries that were hit by the tsunami.
Yeah.
And Syria was the one, the first one.
Not Syria. They didn't get hit with the tsunami.
Oh, I ask you which
country. Indonesia.
Okay. Yeah. But they said there was... Okay, seven countries. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jack. This is Greg, Florida.
Hi, Greg.
When Alan has a chance, I'd like to ask him a question, or should I?
You can ask it right now, my dear.
Okay.
But you know that he, you aren't going to be able to hear his answer, honey.
I'll wait for the radio show.
In other words, what you're going to do is ask your question, and then hang up and listen, because he'll answer your question, but you just won't be able to hear him until you're listening. Are you following me, Greg?
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
It's regarding Masonic origins. Fred Allen's pamphlet. And in the pamphlet, Alan mentioned that Jubal Freemasonry began what is now Ethiopia, where 62,000 years ago.
Began what?
Wondering if they established Masonic religion throughout Europe shortly after this, and who are they? So who is that royalty? What I'd like to see.
Alan, did you get the question, Alan?
I got bits of it, yeah.
Okay, Greg, you need to ask your question again.
Okay.
He said he got bits of it, hon.
Alan, what I was asking was regarding Masonic origins. In your pamphlet, you had mentioned that somewhere, I guess, in what now is Ethiopia, Jubal Freemasonry was established 62,000 B.C., somewhere in that neighborhood. Did they then establish Masonic religions throughout the world shortly after that? And who are they? Who was that that royal group or that royalty?
Did you hear that question, Alan?
Yeah.
Okay. Greg, if you want to hang up, and listen, we're going to be taking our 60-second break, so Alan will answer the question after that, so he doesn't have to be interrupted.
Great, thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, Alan.
Yeah.
Did he say Jubal Masonry?
Yeah, the Jubal came. You know.
Jubal, okay. Did he say 62,000 B.C.?
Yeah.
Did he mean 6,200?
Well, the thing is, here's where it gets complicated, but it's not really...
Okay, hold it, because we just got our warning that we're going to have our... Ladies and gentlemen, reminding you that Sweet Liberty is brought to you by you, and not you if you're not participating. You're only listening. If you would like to keep the broadcast on the air, I received our most... I think I told you this last night, our current airtime bill from WWCR alone is at 7,000. We've taken a huge chunk out of it, and we need to continue to bring it down. If you'll get your pen, you will be given my address right now, and we'll be right back with Alan Watts.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, Alan is going to answer Greg's question. Before we do that, folks, let me remind you, and if you didn't know, I'll inform you, Alan has put together two booklets. Greg was asking a question of something that he had read out of one of them, which reminds me to let you know that the booklets are available. And there are two of them. They are $20 each. And I promise you that they are certainly worth having. He put these together as a result of the broadcast that we did back in beginning December of 98. And we did actually 10 weeks. Wow, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, 10. And because the information was so new and there were so many questions that people had, he put the booklets together. And if you missed those, even if you did hear them, you would want to have the booklets. As I said, they're $20 each. Either send... Oh, by the way, I had a question last night from Janet, and she wanted to know what an FRN is. It's a Federal Reserve note, folks. It's what we call money. And when I say FRNs, I just assumed. So you can send cash, or you can send international money orders. And you can get that at your post office, but do not send a check or a U.S. postal money order, or it will be useless. So it would be cash or an international money order, $20 for each book. You can order one or both of them, and that covers the cost of the postage. And I don't know, Alan, I know it's going up heavily.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to increase that sum, you need to let us know. And the address, folks, is Alan Watt, A-L-A-N, Watt, W-A-T-T, no S, Alan Watt, that is Site 41, S-I-T-E, 41, Box 4, Estaire, Canada. That would be E-S as in Samuel, T as in Thomas, A-I-R-E. Estaire, Ontario, and the postal code is it P4, Alan, or P3, E4, N as in Nancy, 1, P as in Paul, 3, E, Edward, 4, N, Nancy, 1, P3, E4, N1, and at the bottom, underneath that, write Canada. And it all has to be first last name and your first last name and last name, or it will not even be accepted by the Postal Service in Canada. Your full name and return address on the envelope. One more time, Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, P3, E4, N1, Canada. Okay. Now, would you sort of repeat for our listeners Greg's question, at least, you know, paraphrase it, so our in case our listeners weren't able to understand him, Alan?
Yeah. It's the foundations really of what you think of as Masonry. When did it start? And who's behind it? Basically, who are they? The big they that they're always talking about.
And was it 62,000 years ago?
Well, it depends on which version you read.
Did you have that in your booklet?
I think I did, yeah. Ethiopia was a big player, and even in the Talmud, if you study the there are conflicting stories of even who Moses was, although most of it is allegory.
Or did Moses exist?
Well, that's right, and you see,
Moses means son of, doesn't it?
It means
like
child.
Ramos, oh, the child of, okay.
Yeah, and of course they have Manes is another even older term they use for it. And Manes really was to do with the flowing of the Nile, how the Nile flowed and overflowed. And of course, when the water withdrew, actually when it flooded, that brought fertility to the land. And all those who got on higher ground were saved. That's where the saying comes from,
saying
that came on higher ground.
Okay, let me ask a question. We have a caller here.
Yeah.
I could take the question. We could take the question. You could finish answering Greg's and then do this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're on the air there. Hello?
Yes. You had a gentleman on there named Alan Watts.
He's on right now. Who's calling?
Terry from Canada.
Terry? Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. He's on now, Terry.
Oh, really? Okay. Does he have a website or a phone number I could possibly get?
He has a phone number.
Okay. I'd better take him. Could you just give us that number or
yes.
Give it to me over the air here?
Yes. Take it down. It's 705.
Okay. Hold on, please.
Six, nine, five.
Pardon me?
695.
Okay.
0416.
Pardon me again?
705.
Yes.
695.
695,
0416. Do you have shortwave, Terry?
Yes, I am. I'm actually...
Okay, well, you should listen because Alan is on with us quite often.
And last night you had a program on there. You were talking about Neo-Tesla and earthquaking and stuff like that.
Yes.
Will that posted on your website?
It will be, yes. Our webmaster is working on it now, Terry.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bless you. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got that handled.
Yeah. So if we go into the Talmud, they have different stories for each character. That they have in the Torah, and they have different conflicting stories of what happened to Moses. And one of the stories in the Talmud is that Moses was full Egyptian, and that he wanted to take over Egypt. The king or the pharaoh found this out, and he fled to Ethiopia, where he, through his knowledge, he gained power over the Ethiopians, became their king, and led them on an attack back into Egypt. So you have all these conflicting stories in the Talmud, but all the confusion is meant to do just that. It's to confuse, because these are not real people.
Yeah, okay, they're made up names like Jehovah, a phantom god.
But Jehovah, even in Genesis, is only one of the gods.
Right, I know.
It was plural. It was Elohim.
Right.
And he was a latecomer, in fact, you know. And but anyway, as I say, with the Nile, the wealth and the fate of the people depended on the Nile's flooding every year. And the rains start up in Uganda, and then flow all through, bringing the heavy silt with it, and so on. It's full of nourishment. And then the Nile would overflow, and the warnings came. Of course, that's where the holy days come from. When Sirius rose at its highest point, that meant that the floods were coming, and those who were to be saved got up onto higher ground. And so Manes is one of the names they use.
How do you spell that?
M-A-N-E-S.
Okay.
And that eventually was changed to Moses. Again, through the secret brotherhood that existed at that time.
Okay.
But Manes And Manui's, which is just an E after the last, you know, it's Manui's, or U-E-S, is a term they gave when the water started to recede from the flooded area, and that meant, again, child. And of course, the child that they're talking about is the new shoots that came up because they had been flooded, got their nutrients and their water, then they were shooting up as soon as the water has receded.
I have to go back to this date.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, well, according to the Old Testament, this all started, well, at least Sumerian, they said, okay, correct me here, because my understanding is that Sumer is one of the oldest of the histories that we actually have, which was about 6,000 B.C.?
Yeah.
Well, you're saying 62,000.
Oh, it's much, much older, yeah. I mean, there's been many. That's one of the first lies we were ever given is
the time.
Civilization, so-called civilization.
What about Sumer? Was that older than 6,000 years ago then?
Well, Sumer is halfway through your year.
What does that mean?
It's a play on summer. That's why it's called Sumer. It's a play on summer. Summer is halfway through your year.
So that's why they say 6,000 years?
That's right. And if you go back 5,000 B.C. and that's halfway through, you see, then you can tack on another amount of years to that same...
Another 6,000 years.
Now they've dug up Sumer, and sure enough, the archaeologists admit there's another culture pre-existed that one.
Oh, okay.
Going all the way from Egypt to China. And they were called the Harappian culture. That's the term that the historians have now given to them.
Harappian?
Harappian.
Like H-A-R-A-P-I-A-N?
There's two R's there.
Oh, okay. H-A-R-R.
Yeah. And these people had running water in their homes.
Oh, my.
They had hot and cold. They had showers.
Oh.
These primitive men, you know, these apes, they were very handy with their hands. You see? But, of course, it's all rubbish because if you go back into the Hindu histories, they talk about ages, previous ages.
Yes.
Whereas the West is, you know, our beginnings, as you say, start with Sumer, and that's been smashed as well. So what we do know is that a merchant class pre-existed the beginnings of Sumer, and they had trading routes right through the pre-historic world, and they lived very, very, very well. You know. So with reference to masonry, that simply means the builders. They're not talking about just the physical cities which they created. They're talking about society and the societies that they create as well. They
Freemasonry?
Create culture. They create culture itself. They create your religion that you will follow. And they even create your language, in fact, just as they did with the English language. It was deliberately created to contain all the Masonic codings back in the 1500s.
So then who they were, this is what Greg was asking?
Yeah, that goes right back
to... It's the same priesthood that has been doing this?
It goes back to the basis of the so-called mystery religion, and here's the basis of it. They claim that the Earth was inhabited millions of years ago with us, you know, they call us Homo sapiens, which is a play with an ape in the middle, if you like, you know.
Mm.
and apian is a play on apiary, which means a beehive. So we are workers.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's what it means.
Homo? Uh-huh. What does homo mean?
Homo is erect, meaning it's got, it's mammalian and it has the two arms and the two legs and so on.
Erect, homo,
yeah.
Apian.
Yeah.
So we're looked at as apes and worker bees.
Apes and worker bees, that's correct.
Oh,
and they claim, and it's probably one of the little bits of truth they give you in the Old Testament, because this group, this priesthood is behind it, they claim that they themselves were the ones who were imprisoned to here, to this planet here.
Ah, they're the bad guys.
They are the fallen angels, but to them, of course, they believe that they're much brighter than the apes and the bees here. And they claim that in their first physical body, they created their own physical bodies by pure will.
Okay, I could,
And they say that these bodies that they created from physical matter by willing it to be were perfect, and they could then inhabit those bodies.
And they could leave the bodies at will?
They could do that. They could.
But they were still bound into this physical realm.
Yes, yes, that's right. And they claim that it's an army, if you like, the way that their society was structured from general right down to the private, you might say, from different entities, and intellect-wise and so on. So there's a definite sort of army regimentation to this. But after a while, this is what they mean by the sons of God look down on the daughters of men, and then be bred with them. However, by inbreeding with the people who were here, they began to lose these psychic powers that they had. And hence they went to a rush to start inbreeding again to try to get back to the original physical bodies.
Oh.
And hence came the dynasties and lineages that go right up to the present day, into families like the Rothschilds and so on, who still inbreed beyond what's allowed in Judaism. I mean, they all marry their nieces.
Well, they were pretty short creatures.
Yeah.
I used to work for a fellow who, I'm 5'1½", Alan.
Yeah.
And this guy wasn't but a couple inches taller than me.
Uh-huh.
And he was, you know, he kind of looked a little bit like Dr. Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
That little hunchback creature that walks with her palms behind her.
Yeah, she cackles on about sex.
Yeah, uh-huh. And his wife was about 5'7" or 5'8",
mm-hmm.
and very, very beautiful. And it looks like, I mean, I didn't think anything of it then, except I wonder how he kisses her, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they probably were inbreeding. See, this is the thing that's confusing to me, mm-hmm. because the pictures of the so-called Jews that were over there in Germany,
uh-huh.
and I've got a video where they actually went into the ghettos and filmed these people, and Alan, they all look so much alike.
Yeah.
They had almost no chins. Their profile didn't really, I don't mean to be denigrating here, but I'm telling you what I was observing. Their forehead didn't seem to go straight up. It kind of slanted back a little so that it came out, and there was that great big huge nose, and then, you know, kind of thick lips, and then hardly no chin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who are those people?
Those people are the fronts.
They're
fronts. They believe their religion.
Okay, we have a caller here. Thank you. You're on the air. You have a question for Alan?
Hi, Jackie. This is Janet from Illinois.
Hello, Janet.
Spoke with you yesterday?
Yes, honey. I remember you.
Okay. I've got a three-part. I was wondering, first of all, the distinction between Genesis 1, remember what it was?
Yes,
About chapter 1,
right.
Referring to...
He knows what you're talking about, honey? The two creations?
Right.
Okay.
Later, and in chapter 2,
right.
It goes after the creation.
Right, and I'm not trying to hurry you, but I want him to be able to answer, and we've only got about maybe 8 minutes left here, honey.
Okay.
So number one, you would like the distinction between the two creations in Genesis.
That's between the God creator and the Lord God.
Okay, God and Lord God, okay.
And then are we from the creator?
You mean that creator?
Because the creator created, but then the Lord God made, being formed. He's born.
Well, that's okay. Okay.
And from the dust.
That's your understanding of it.
Okay. And then what is our destination as in Revelation? What they speak of? And then what would be the message for us today to give to our loved ones?
Okay, honey. You want to hang up, and Alan will answer you.
Okay, and I want to let you know that I am on the computer tonight with John.
With who?
With my husband, John.
Oh, I thought it was Bob. I'm sorry, honey.
Oh.
You're on the computer tonight. Good girl. Okay.
Thank you,
honey. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We had the most delightful conversation yesterday. Did you get her questions? I wrote them down, Alan.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to go?
Yeah, it's the
first one.
Again, it's the old priestly story which they give you that in the beginning, of course, you'll notice that this God creates man and woman. And then you hear nothing more about them. Then you read the next chapter and there's nobody to till the soil. So he creates Adam and Eve. So they're the laborers, you see.
Yes, but that is confusing. Oh, geez. Okay. Hold on. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for taking my call. I'm Todd from Buffalo.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, how you doing? I have a question for Alan.
Yes.
I was wondering, has he heard anything about Prince William and him taking the microchip and his father taking the microchip, them being the first one to do it?
Prince William?
Yes.
Okay, hang up and he'll answer you after.
I was also wondering if he knows anything or possibility of him. Might sound ridiculous, but being the Antichrist, I am.
Oh, Prince William?
Yes.
Okay, Todd.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Bye. Okay, folks, you probably should hold your calls until he gets done answering these two questions.
Yeah. Well, see, the gene of Isis is the reason to begin it with Genesis. Even the places where they put their gold down through the years, like Geneva, is the gene of Eve. It's the same story.
Gene of Eve and gene of Isis.
Yeah.
But, okay,
so
but...
they play these games. See, that is not the creator. This is...
Right.
This is the version to encaptivate the mind, imprison the mind...
Okay.
...that they give out to the people.
Thank you. In other words, Janet, the God is not creator, is what Alan is saying, honey.
Yeah.
Okay, and is there a distinction between God and Lord God, and is there a reason why they gave an account of, quote, two creations?
Yeah, it's allegory again, that man and woman, who meet in his perfect likeness, meaning the sameness with the same powers, that's what they're hinting at, because these ones who came to this planet or were cast here or imprisoned here, believe that they...
Maybe they cast themselves here. I mean, what, Alan, I don't want to get us off track.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I wish we were doing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because this isn't going to be a quickie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot, you see, it doesn't make sense they were, quote, cast out.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down and we'll do this another time.
Yeah.
So you can finish with Janet's questions.
And her question was the...
Okay, she wondered about our destination as in Revelation.
Well, Revelation is a play, that's why the word was created. It's supposed to mean revealing. You don't reveal a prophecy. You prophesy a prophecy. You reveal a plan.
Yes.
You see? Now,
yes.
Revelation also is a play on revolution.
The wars, and wars, and wars, and wars.
And their system is based on solar and stellar movements and their holidays. And, of course, the revolution is what they do. They get towards the great work, their plan, their goal, through revolution.
Yes.
So revelation is just all their revolution.
They revealed their plan in Revelation.
Yeah.
That is, thank you, that is exactly what I have... for many, many, many years believed. Well, I didn't know, actually, about the priesthood and that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you told us about the priesthood, it made all the sense in the world that Revelation was written by them.
Yeah.
And it's easy to write what is happening today because it was part of their plan.
It was part of their plan.
Yes.
And the names they use of John and all the rest of them are again part of their plan. They have inner meanings. Which historians certainly know, and have always known too, but it's called the Great Work. And civilization, which means the building of cities, which imprison people, was part of their Great Work. That was
civilization, the cities.
And so they give you a story about Nimrod who creates the first city, and that's why he's held up by masonry. Because an artificial system like a city, people can't even feed themselves, so they must introduce this thing called money.
Yes.
Then they hire an army with that money and go out and conquer the agricultural people.
And of course, yes, and of course their food is all controlled because they can't grow their own.
Yes.
And that's laid out in the Old Testament too, in the story of Jacob over there in Egypt. And after he had created a depression, and then the people had to sell themselves and their children into slavery, it says right there that he gathered up all the people from the country and brought them into the cities.
It's the human habitat area.
God, Alan.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But if you jump back to what Plato said about Zoroaster, who really is, in a sense, another form of Tubal Cain, Plato said that he pre-existed his time, and that was about 2400 BC. Plato said that Zoroaster had existed 6,000 years prior to him. So you see how it's much, much older than we're given, you see.
Janet's last question was, what is our message that we give to our loved ones? I don't know, we've only got a couple minutes left. Do you want to quickly answer Todd's question about Prince William?
Prince William, in the royal genealogy, the intellect has never been proven to be there for them to be the leaders.
Okay, all right.
But all their ceremonies with the ermine coats and so on, and the raised pyramid they sit the throne on for the ceremonies, and the checkerboard floor are all Masonic, and they all go back to Nimrod.
And he wanted to know if you had heard anything about Prince William and his family being the first to take the chip.
Well, it makes sense that William would, because he has to be a chip off the old block. You see?
Okay, fine.
And as far as Charles goes, I mean, Charles needs a chip just to show him where he is.
Yeah, okay. And you're saying that you don't think that William or that family is going to be the Antichrist?
No.
All right, you know what? I'm saving Janet's last question. You're going to be coming on with us next Monday, and maybe we'll start there.
Okay.
Because I know that it was a very sincere question that she asked. Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, be back with us tomorrow night. And remember, on Thursday, Jeffrey Bennett is your host for Great Liberty. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye. Alan?
Yep.
Once again.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of